Later this week, I'm entering into what in many ways is the most important week of my whole year. It is as well the most important week in the life of any priest or religious or deacon. It's the week in which I'll enter into my canonical retreat. Canonical is just a word which means you have to do it. But it's a beautiful thing. It's the church law that a priest is required each year to take time away for prayer and retreat. And the canon, which is the only one I know of all of canon law, the top of my head, it's 276. And it speaks in this beautiful way, in the beginning of it, of a priest is one who needs to be seeking personal holiness in pursuing it in this retreat, and also to grow in awareness of the mysteries of God that they've received through holy orders, these mysteries which they are to hand on to their people for the good of the people of God. These three things of the importance of this canonical retreat: the priest in his own holiness, an awareness of these mysteries which he hands on for the sake of you, the people of God. There is nothing in a priest's life which is just about them. That's true of any Christian life, but in a particular way, of a priest or religious, nothing they do is just about them. Like, I'm not just going on retreat because I just need rest and just for me to have some me and God time, not bothered by all you. No, it's the body of Christ in that everything a priest does is, yes, it's for my own spiritual nourishment and for your souls as well. That the mysteries of God might be handed on to you in their fullness and with the great life that they're filled with through the hands of a priest. The two key ingredients in a retreat, the two key things are scripture and silence. And this is in the life of any prayer. It's both the word and silence. This is in your prayer life as well, everyone. When you seek God in prayer, when you place yourself in a place where he is able to speak to you, where he's able to work on your soul, it's through his word and scripture that God speaks to us. Everyone, he speaks to your heart. Do you know what his voice sounds like? Do you know and recognize when it's God who's speaking to you? He does so in such a powerful way through scripture, his word, but also through this other thing too, which is silence. Silence is not just the absence of any distractions or any noise. Silence is not just peace and quiet either. Silence in prayer is a struggle. It's struggling with God. It's wrestling with God. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it speaks in the section on prayer of the battle of prayer. And that silence is an important part in that, in wrestling with God in that. Do you remember Jacob from the Old Testament? How one night he wrestled with God all through the night. He wrestled with God, and at the end, God revealed himself to him and he blessed him. This is the same with the importance of silence in prayer. Imagine, for instance, you go on a retreat with the handmaids here. Highly recommended, ladies. You go on a retreat with them, and you encounter, for the first time in your life, God the Father's love for you. And all of a sudden, you're praying with Scripture, and it becomes alive in a real way, because the Word of God is alive. He speaks to us in that, and you're experiencing that, and God speaks to you personally, and you hear His voice, and you come back, and you're just walking on air. And so you come back, and you're like encouraged by the handmaid's advice to not let it just end with the retreat, but you carve aside 20 minutes every morning before the chaos erupts in your house, and that's your time of prayer. In the first couple weeks, incredible. You open your Scriptures, you just simply choose the gospel for the day, and it's alive, and Jesus is, He's real, and He's speaking to you. This goes on for a couple weeks, but then a lot of silence, a lot of what seems like dryness. Not silence in the peace and quiet sense, kids aren't up screaming, but silence in the, doesn't seem like God's here anymore. It's just quiet, quiet, silence. So you keep on for a couple weeks, but then you just become discouraged by it. It becomes this big deterrent, which you wake up and it used to be something you were excited to go to. Now it's, and after a while, it just sort of fades off because life. And you think back and that experience seems like it was one of just a shooting star. You know, it came up, it burned brightly, and whew, it was gone. But that's not what God is doing in silence. God speaks to us through His Word, and He gives us as well silence. Times in which it seems as if He is saying nothing. Times in which He asks us to wrestle with Him in that silence. And that wrestling looks like remaining there with Him. Not leaving that place. This first reading today, Nehemiah, he was the one who, after they had been in exile in Babylon, when they came back to Jerusalem, the Jews, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and that's what Nehemiah did. And the priest Ezra, he is the one who we hear, he unrolls the Word of God, and for the first time in so long, it had seemed as if it had been forgotten. People are hearing the law of God being proclaimed. And this is also, you don't hear about him here either in this reading, but he's at the same time period. The prophet Malachi, who there's all these prophecies coming from Malachi, how the Lord will be worshipped from the rising of the sun to its setting. God's doing this amazing stuff. They had been in exile. Now they're back in Jerusalem. He had brought them back. The walls are being rebuilt. The law is being proclaimed. And God is speaking to them incredibly through this prophet Malachi. Do you know what happened for the next 500 years after this? Because this all took place in like 500 BC. This was an amazing moment. And we hear the joy of it. The next 500 years. Silence. There were no prophecies. There were no great prophets that were risen up. God seemingly was just entirely silent. But it's what the Jewish people did and how they responded to that silence which affected how they received the Word of God when it was spoken again. The Word of God when it was spoken from the Word incarnate, Jesus Himself. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear in the Gospel, for the first time, Jesus, the Word incarnate, saying this passage has been fulfilled in your hearing, this prophecy of Isaiah. He's revealing to them, for the first time, in a small way, that He is indeed the Messiah, of who He is. And how the Jewish people responded to those 500 years of silence affected how they were able to receive the word. Do you know what happens right after this passage? All of those who had been sitting in the synagogue of Nazareth hearing Jesus proclaim this, do you know what they did? I should leave you at a cliffhanger so you could find out next week, which you would ordinarily, but next week is a presentation, so it trumps the fourth Sunday of ordinary time, and so you're not going to hear the passage. What the people did is they brought him to a cliff and they tried to kill him. Something in that silence, for many of these Jewish leaders and a lot of the people, had been warped within them. And when the word of God spoke to them again, they rejected it. But this wasn't all the people, because in the presentation, when Jesus was brought into the temple to be presented to God, the prophetess Anna and Simeon, they had been waiting in that silence, and their longing had been growing, but they were waiting there, and they struggled with God, and they waited, trusting on his word that had been spoken so many centuries before, and what had been revealed to them even in prayer. And when Jesus was brought into the temple, it was with great joy that they received him. An explosion of joy and praise. God gives us his word, and he gives us as well silence. And he uses both of those in your soul that you might receive him. Everyone, God loves you and he speaks to you. And he loves you and he gives you silence. Don't flee from him in the midst of silence. Stay there with him. Remain faithful. Stay close to his word, both in scripture and his word incarnate in the Eucharist. I want to close just with a very practical thing. I'm going on retreat starting Wednesday morning at the Abbey in Richerton. If you have any intentions that you would like me to bring, because as your priest, I'm bringing you on retreat with me as well. If you wanted to email them to me, drop them off at the office, call the office, text me, however you wanted to get them to me, I'll bring those intentions with me on retreat so that I can be praying for you in a very intentional way. And be assured in those days of prayer and silence of my prayers for you. And please, during those days as well, to keep me in your prayers.